the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Our Today FM Courts correspondent Frank Graney has been on Court Daily. The case of Riad Boushakar, and he and Emily Keegan have been bringing us reports on a daily basis of what was an exceptionally difficult set of evidence to listen to. For those of us hearing a summary of it on the radio every day, for those who were in the courtroom, and very, very difficult for everybody who had to give evidence and live through the trauma yet again of what happened in that day in November 2023. Frank, thank you for joining us again today. Tell us, please, about the eventual outcome when the jury returned its verdicts today.
Eventual and inevitable outcome, Matt, and I can say that with great confidence, having sat through every minute of this trial. At about 3:30 this afternoon, it became apparent that verdicts had been reached. The jury minder had returned to Court 19 with a nod to court staff. At that point, there were just a few reporters, barristers, solicitors and Gardaí sit in the room. Most of us had been anticipating that the jury would be sent home at 4 o'clock, having not reached any verdicts. They were unable to sit tomorrow and Friday, so it was looking like it could even go into next week. But in the minutes that followed, the room quickly filled up with family members of the victims racing back to take their seats. Leanne Flynn was there, the childcare worker was stabbed in the back, eagerly awaiting the jury's decision over the past couple of days. There had been a few false starts. The jury returned maybe an hour or so beforehand because they wanted to see a piece of evidence, the green padded jacket worn by a little boy that Riad Boushakar tried to murder. They seemed to spend some time on that charge because, like the other attempted murder charges, there was also an alternative verdict open to them. In the end, they weren't required. Riad Boushakar was brought back a few minutes later. He left again just as quickly as he seemed to take a brief consultation with his legal team. His fate was sealed soon afterwards. No alternative verdicts were needed, as I say. He was found guilty on all 8 counts, guilty of the attempted murder of 3 children, one of whom has been left with devastating, lifelong and life-limiting injuries for what he did that day. He stabbed her in the chest, piercing her heart, and she is very, very lucky to be alive. He was also convicted of the attempted murder of another girl and that 5-year-old boy that I mentioned a moment ago. The jury found him guilty of stabbing Leanne Flynn in the back. The brave childcare worker put her own life on the line to save those young children. He caused her serious harm. After seeing the footage of that attack, Matt, I can absolutely assure you that Leanne Flynn saved lives that day. Nobody knows how they would react in such circumstances, fight or flight. But she fought. She fought hard. She grabbed Riad Boushakar. He was armed with a knife, a deadly weapon. He intended to kill that afternoon. He didn't expect her to fight. That was clear. He was confused and surprised when she did. And when she was no longer able to fight, others stepped in. Warren Donoghue punched Riad Boushakar in the face, knocking him to the ground. Caio Benicio, the brave Brazilian Deliveroo driver, he also intervened, hitting Mr. Boushakar with his helmet. A brave young Frenchman, just 17 years of age at the time, going to work in Dublin city centre that afternoon, disarmed him, and Riad Boushakar was today found guilty of assault causing harm to him. Others intervened too, with some even protecting Mr. Boushakar as he lay on the ground because they wanted to see justice being served in the courtroom, not on the streets. Riad Boushakar was also found guilty of assault causing harm to 2 other children, and he was convicted of a knife offence. The verdicts delivered just under 5 hours of jury deliberations required, and they were all unanimous.
Frank, you said at the outset there that having sat through this case and having listened to the evidence, that this outcome today, all of these guilty verdicts were inevitable. And I suspect the majority of people listening to your daily broadcast with us and Emily would have felt the same as they listened to the reports, which meant from a very early stage, many people were wondering, why has this man pleaded not guilty? I know it's his right under the law to plead not guilty. And the state has to prove in circumstances like this what it says happened, happened. But given that there were videos, given that there were so many witnesses, given that we know what he did to these children, how on earth did he actually think a not guilty plea was going to work? And what about then, in addition to the trauma that was caused yet again to everybody involved in the circumstances that day of having to relive it because he was pleading not guilty?
Yeah, to the end of that question, firstly, I suppose, when you speak of the trauma, the untold trauma of the day itself, but again, as you say, for the family members to have to essentially re-traumatise themselves, some of them taking the stand to describe the injuries to their children that day. I'm reminded of the evidence of the first prosecution witness called the mother of the most seriously injured girl and how she broke down in the witness box as she was recalling that day with vivid clarity. It's a day and afternoon that she will never forget. And what struck me as a dad of two who is familiar with creche drop-offs is just the ordinariness of the day itself, up to a point, obviously, when it became extraordinary for all the wrong reasons. She, like so many other parents who gave evidence in relation to their injured children, said that she would never have expected a phone call on a day-to-day basis from the creche unless there was something wrong. But she certainly wouldn't have expected to get a phone call from the principal to say that her daughter had been stabbed. And that phone call, that caller, had tears in her eyes and in her voice as she relayed that. And she gave very vivid evidence of dropping everything, leaving work, rushing to the scene. And it was just even though it is an extraordinary situation to find yourself in, you expect to see paramedics there. You expect to see blue lights and sirens and Gardaí and large crowds and cordons and all of those things were there. But what struck me and what just hit me in the stomach when she was reliving that moment was she said that she could see some paramedics working around somebody and she knew that it was her daughter because she saw her little pink shoes and her pink bag. And they are things that you don't expect to see at a crime scene like that. She was very brave in giving her evidence. It was a very difficult thing undoubtedly for her to do and to sit through and for the others too. And also Leanne Flynn, who once again showed extraordinary bravery, getting up and telling her story and giving her account of what happened that day. And they should be incredibly proud of themselves for the way they conduct themselves throughout. As to, I suppose, Riyad Bushekhar's approach to the trial, yes, he contested all of the charges and only he would be able to explain why he decided to do that, because there was a pre-trial hearing, there was a fitness to stand trial hearing that we spoke about on your show, where a lot of the evidence was presented to the judge in relation to that. So we got a sense as reporters covering that hearing what the evidence was going to be, and it just struck me as remarkable that it was actually going to go to trial. I mean, the defence would argue that, you know, clearly they had a right to contest the charges, and the main battleground, it seemed, certainly in relation to the most serious charges, those attempted murder charges that he was found guilty of today, went to his intention. They challenged the intent to kill that was being put forward by the prosecution. And while we'll never know exactly how they arrived at their decision today, we can safely say that the jurors were in agreement. Again, these were unanimous verdicts that Riyad Bushekhar intended to kill that day. And I can say with absolute certainty, after seeing that CCTV footage of the attack itself, that harrowing attack that lasted only a couple of seconds, but it has lifelong consequences for many, I can tell you that if it were not for the intervention of Leanne Flynn and those other brave members of the public, there would have been fatalities that day. There would have been more injuries without a shadow of a doubt.
When is he going to be sentenced? And when it comes to the sentencing, the fact that he pleaded not guilty and put everything through this trial, will that be factored into his sentence?
It can't be used as an aggravating factor when it comes to sentencing, but certainly he won't get the benefit of it as a mitigating factor, as it would have been the case. He would have been given quite a healthy discount, maybe 25% or so, if he had pleaded guilty to these charges at an early stage. He didn't do that. As we said, he had a right to contest the charges, but he won't be able to avail of the benefit of that as a result. And these are very serious charges. They don't carry mandatory life sentences in the same way that full murder convictions do. But there is the maximum penalty of life imprisonment available to the judge in relation to the more serious charges. A sentence hearing will take place in October. We learned today that some of the parents aren't available to attend a sentence hearing maybe later this week. So clearly they want to be there and that's their right to be there. So a decision was made to put back until October. And in the meantime, the defence will also seek another neuropsychologist, a psychology report that will be presented to the judge, one would only assume as part of his mitigation. But yeah, certainly given the fact that he contested these charges, he won't be able to avail of the benefit that he would have got if he pleaded guilty to them from the outset.
How did he react to the verdict?
Well, Riyad Boushakar has had an interpreter sat beside him throughout these proceedings, and as the guilty verdicts were coming in, they were being relayed to him through this interpreter. And to be honest, in the moment, I didn't notice much of a reaction from him. But the judge did rise for a few minutes after the verdicts came in. And I noticed that when he was brought back in to just learn of that sentence date hearing that had been set for October, I noticed that it appeared that he had been crying. And he seemed very agitated then when he was eventually remanded in custody ahead of that sentence hearing. He, as I could hear, standing just a few yards away from him, I could hear him telling one of the prison officers to take it easy as he was being led away from the courtroom. But he will be back in October. We'll have a sentence hearing at that point. The victims and the families of victims will be given an opportunity to deliver victim impact statements if they so wish.
Yeah, and how were they today? More importantly than how he was, how were they?
Incredibly relieved, obviously, and very emotional. They were seated on a bench just behind the very busy press bench, and they were all in tears, embracing each other. It's very obvious they've all become very close. And one positive thing you can say is that they've all become undoubtedly close as a result of this, and they were all a very good support to one another in that moment. Leanne Flynn, that childcare worker who suffered horrendous injuries, she had to have a spleen removed as a result of her brave intervention. She was there as well, just swept away by the emotion of it all. And I had the good fortune just a few days ago crossing the street at the same time as Leanne Flynn. I just approached her with no other reason than to just commend her for her bravery, because she deserves the keys to the city. She was remarkably brave on that day. She literally put her life on the line. And there's a lot of people out there who can thank her for that in terms of they still have their own safety, their own well-being, their lives to thank her for, and obviously those other members of the public. It was undoubtedly a horrific trial, and the judge commented on that in his closing remarks to the jury after they delivered those guilty verdicts. He said it had been very difficult to hear, and he said it was his own belief that their verdicts were entirely aligned with the evidence, and he said he couldn't thank them enough for their care and the attention that they have put into the case. He said, unsurprisingly, that this was not an enjoyable experience, and to reflect the trauma of what they've been put through and have had to sit through over the past few weeks, they were granted a 25-year exemption from future jury service.
Frank Rainey, our Today FM Courts correspondent, thank you very much. Frank has the podcast All Rise, in which you can hear more details either at the Go Loud app or wherever it is you get your podcasts.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.